Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's so funny? Why, Friday Follies, of course, right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The following audio drama is rated R and is recommended restricted for anyone under the age of 17. You there, you're under 17, yes, yes, I can see you. Go somewhere else. We'll wait. Okay.
Welcome to the stockholders meeting, everyone. If you could take your seats, please. Now, if we get settled in here, I'd like to begin this week's meeting with a prayer. Padre?
Dear God, I have 15 toes. What the hell is with that? Amen!
Thank you, Padre. Very inspirational as usual. Now, as you all know, we're here to discuss our quarterly earnings.
I was here for the all-you-can-eat Mongolian barbecue.
Yes, well, we'll get to that after the meeting, all right? Now, first of all...
I've got a meat platter and everything.
Shit! Shush!
Sorry.
All right, then. Now, as I said, we're here to discuss our quarterly earnings. We are one of the few corporations that's paid entirely in quarters.
What about the video game industry?
No, they've moved over to a token economy.
Now, that'd be like Lord of the Rings?
No, that would be a Tolkien economy, yes. Now, moving
well,
right
let's
along...
Let's hope it's not Hobbit form.
Is that out of our system now? Good. Now, I suppose you're all interested in our quarterly earnings.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
To answer your queries about how much we did earn, I placed all the quarters into this whiskey barrel.
Well, how much is in there?
Well, that's the fun of it. You all have to guess based on the size of the barrel.
Do we win something?
I was just getting to that. The winner who gets the amount correct will get one wish granted.
Ooh.
And the rest of you losers will all have your nipples twisted with a pair of pliers. Ooh. Except for Anderson over there, because he's into that sort of thing.
That would have been my wish.
I swear I'll shoot.
So, Brian, does that mean you get to participate in this contest as well?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, as CEO, don't you already know how many quarters are in that barrel?
Well, we'll just have to see, won't we?
Bastard.
Why, yes. But to show you I'm going to be fair about the whole thing, let's give an outsider a stab at it first. Let's bring in Dennis the mailboy. Dennis, would you come in here for a minute, please?
Please, come over here.
Okay, what can I do for you, sir?
Dennis, my lad. I'd like you to guess how many dollars worth of quarters are in this whiskey barrel.
Oh, all right, sir. Based on the size of the barrel, I'd say that... Why are you holding those pliers?
No reason. Go on.
Okay. Based on the size of the barrel, I'm going to guess $55,223.75.
Well, good guess, Dennis, but unfortunately... You peaked, didn't you?
No, I never.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right, I admit it, I cheated.
You impish rapscallion. You should be ashamed. But this being a major corporation, instead you'll be rewarded by winning the contest. Your wish will be granted.
Sweet, I'm gonna wish for the show to get started.
That's it, you little suck-up.
Huh?
Come on, use your imagination. It's a wish for crying out loud.
All right, I wish for the show to get started with a new theme song. How's that?
That's better, let's rip it up. Well, how do you like them apples, huh? Has some elements of the old last theme there, and that's the prospective new theme, unless it is universally hated and derided by all of my fans. I think I'm going to have that, or at least a tweaked version of that in the future. Welcome to the program. I'm Kyan Chris Conroy, your host and writer and voice guy, and this is Technical Difficulties, a.k.a. TechDiff at TechDiff.com. And, boy, the equipment just keeps rolling in. Quick bit of news here. The Professor BX of MCVL is now my housemate, and he's an audio engineer, and he's helping me like, well, increase my equipment size thing here. And so he sold me a used Presonus Firewire Firebox, which is plugged into my computer right now, and it's improving my sound even as we speak. So you can look forward to even more professional sound here as I learn the equipment and learn how to engineer a show properly. In any event, that's all you need to know at the moment, and I'll tell you more on the flip side, and I'll be right back after the comedy. Let's go! This week's episode of Technical Difficulties is brought to you by Nebulous Snack Cookies, two delicious devil's food chocolate cookies, and no, we haven't a clue what's in the middle. You pays your money and you takes your chances. That's Nebulous Snack Cookies. Also brought to you by coal. For over 20 years now, coal has been a reliable fuel source. Whether heating your home, cooking your food, or knitting it into a tasteful bituminous ensemble, coal is there for you. You betcha. Our tip of the week says, why not get yourself some premium-grade shale and chip it into a delicious salad? Oh, it won't be edible, but it will give the guests at your next dinner party something to get a big hearty guffaw out of. So remember, that's coal. It comes from the ground to give you time, or heat, or something like that. Are you looking for a good job with great pay and even greater benefits? A satisfying job that stimulates both your mind and your soul? The kind of job that you look forward to getting up and going to every single day? Well, are you or aren't you?
I'm sorry, did you mean me?
Well, yeah, you're the only one in the office. Who else would I be talking to?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were still in the commercials.
What are you talking about?
Well, occasionally I think I'm in a commercial, you know? I hear voiceovers and jingles and background music and light sparkly sort of Vaseline lens thing kind of going on there.
This happens all the time to you?
Yeah, well, it's kind of combat related. It's kind of an after effect of the first Operation Desert Storm.
Oh, really? You were in Operation Desert Storm, huh?
Yep, I was stationed in Kuwait. Our job there was to fight the media, and we lost.
I see. Well, so you're looking for employment with our corporation as a media combatant?
That's right. I know about 50 different ways to kill a sitcom or a news magazine program with my bare hands.
Well, sir, this company is really involved with child placement services.
Oh, for children looking to be adopted. That's nice. So what would the job entail?
Well, you would be packing the children up for shipping.
Really?
Yes. You see, the way our service works is that we charge a nominal fee of $1 to prospective parents looking to adopt children. And then we send them a new child every single month. Now, if they like the child, they can keep them and pay only a simple service charge and the basic retail rate for the child at the time. But they don't like the child, they have to fill out a card and send them back to us.
Oh, I see how that works, and then they have to keep them, and most people just procrastinate too much to fill out the cards in time.
Yes, and that's how we inadvertently bless them with a large family.
And that's the story of how you were adopted into our family. Are you feeling better now?
Well, it's sort of a mixed bag, Mom. I mean, on the one hand, I was only one postcard away from being abandoned, but on the other hand, I'm not genetically related to you, so that's a huge load off my mind.
I'll bet it is. Now, why don't you take your 63 brothers and sisters down to the Macro Club Micro Mart and pick me up another few cartons of cigarettes.
Mom, what do you do with all those cigarettes anyway? I've never actually seen you smoke.
Well, Alan.
Hubert.
Well, Hubert, we use them as part of our local economy.
Really?
Yes, you see, our gated community is unique in that it is staffed entirely by people who are currently being incarcerated in maximum security prison. So we purchase goods and services with cigarettes. And nothing else, I might add.
Thank God, that would have put me off the salad bar permanently.
Welcome back to 24-Hour Action News. I'm Slip Zipley with a special report. Gated communities staffed entirely by maximum security prisoners. Proponents say that restraining devices make it perfectly safe, but critics think it's too dangerous. Is this a ticking time bomb about to blow up in our gated communities into a bloodbath of mythical proportions, or is it merely instituted slavery? Either way, I'm on board. My guest in the studio tonight is Dr. Werner Braunstein, who spearheaded this movement for the U.S. government. Welcome to the program, Dr. Braunstein.
Hello, it's very nice to be on your program there, Zipperino.
Now, you have maximum security prisoners as staff in gated communities.
That's right, we have them working security and sanitation and the whole ball of X.
Well, are these families safe?
They are safe as clown shoes. Here, look, let me illustrate this for you. Now, what am I holding in my hand here?
That's a handkerchief.
That's right, a perfectly ordinary handkerchief. Would you inspect that for me, please?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, now let me have it back. Now, as you can see, the reason these families are safe are... Voila, look, a dove!
Oh, that's fantastic! Wonderful! Yes, I can see the point of your argument right now.
Most people can.
Tell me, as a policymaker, do you always distract people from touchy questions with magic tricks?
Well, let me answer that question for you by first having you select a card from this deck.
Alrighty then.
And so, 10 minutes later... So we believe that this rehabilitative policy represents a negligible risk to our family. Voila! A lady in half.
Bravo, bravo. Thank you for being a guest on a program, and I'm sold on your ideas. And remember, Dr. Braunstein is the Director of Policy for the Federal Bureau of Ill-Advised Shenanigans and can be seen instituting policy at the Wyman Street Dinner Theater every Tuesday and Thursday night. And here with an art and culture report is Lucille Bixby.
Hello, Slip. Thank you very much. I'm out here on Highway 94 in Wisconsin, eagerly awaiting the arrival of the London Philharmonic Orchestra, who are touring the United States of America playing the works of Vaughan Williams. And I think I see them now. Here they come. Inspiring as always. Back to you in the studio, Slip.
Drive-by culturing more and more common in the American art scene. It began as a simple movement to expose the average American to more and more art, but it's taken on more sinister proportions. Jeffrey Thornburg of Mobile, Alabama, believes that he is a victim.
Well, my entire family was coming out of a monster truck rally down at the Coliseum when a car pulled up with a bunch of young drunken thugs in it, and they suddenly pulled out a Kandinsky painting and flashed my family with it.
And how did this affect you?
Well, it challenged my entire family's view of what representational art means, and I believe that I was violated, though strangely spiritually uplifted.
Reverend Wildman Moore of the Foundation of Easily Startled American Families of Colorado Springs takes up the story.
We believe that the government should step in and do something. I don't think the American family should be exposed to art in such a fashion. I mean, it's Kandinsky now, but it's only a matter of time before the works of Robert Mapplethorpe are seen on the American streets.
Hey, yo, Jesus, well, check it out!
That's exactly what I'm talking about. See, that lithographs of Marilyn Monroe. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you little punk.
The federal government has declared they will do something to step in and protect American citizens from art. Republican Congressman Jackson Mulroy.
We believe that the American people deserve to be protected. Post-Columbine, 9-11, war on terror, yada, yada, yada. Court adjourned.
That's all well and good, sir, but this here's a coffee shop.
Well, in that case, I'd like a cafe au lait with extra milk and no art.
One ugly American coming up.
Damn straight. Boy, the government cracking down on art, this totally sucks.
Yeah, it's a real bum trip.
Doesn't the Second Amendment, like, say we have totally a constitutional right to bear art?
No, it's a constitutional right to bear arms.
So we can carry around guns, but we can't carry around art?
Yeah, if the bill passes, yeah.
Well, dude, what about my copy of Pablo Picasso's Still Life with fruit dish on a table that I don't carry around with me, but probably would if it was threatened to become illegal?
Well, you'd be out of luck.
Oh,
Unless the art was made out of guns or something.
Well, you know, I just...
Hey!
Hi there, I'm Jerome.
And I'm Bronson.
And you need to come on down and pick up one of our brand new art guns.
It's art on a gun.
Yeah, it's art on a gun.
Yeah, so if it's post-impressionist, surrealist, or Dada.
Pointillist, minimalist, or Flemish bastards, we've got you covered. Literally!
So come on down to Art Guns, where we've got, art on guns.
On guns, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is that 30 seconds?
Well, that's our commercial. What do you think?
Well, I think it's irresponsible and controversial. I mean, what if children got hold of one of your art guns? I mean, I'm not so worried about the bullet part, but what about the art?
Well, that's the beauty of our art guns.
What is?
I don't know.
Well, you sure you want this to add during the Super Bowl? I mean, that's expensive.
Oh, no problem. I've got this here Jasper Johns original gun here. We just gotta sell that, and we'll have plenty of money to afford the spot.
Hold it right there, police! You're under arrest. We believe that Jasper John's gun was used in a holdup.
Police patrol! Tales of your police! On patrol! Fighting! Crime!
Ma'am, we want to make absolutely sure that we catch the guy who robbed you, so we'd like to have you look at these mugshots.
All right. Ooh, that one's nice, and it looks like it could hold about 3 cups of coffee.
Dough!
Meanwhile, across town, in a nondescript bakery... What? What'd you cut to me for? What are you doing? I'm just making crullers here. Come on, get out of here. Get out of here with your show. I'm making crullers. Get out. Come on. Beat it. Beat it. There's nothing going on here. Come on, get your show out of here. Get out of here.
And with that, it's back to the studio. Hi, Cayenne here. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails lately from people who have been claiming that I'm a comedic genius. Well, I'm not a comedic genius. There is a secret to my comedy, and that's coffee. Coffee and lots of it. Oh boy, do I like my coffee.
Ah.
That's coffee, the fuel of comedy.
Hello, Mr. Turpin here. You know, it was 6 months ago this week that we challenged this audience to see which member could come up with the most creative and interesting and most arousing erotic sculpture made entirely out of nothing but marshmallow fluff. And strangely, during that time, not one of you managed to step up to the plate and give us even one submission. Now, we were led to believe initially that was because you've all turned into a bunch of simpering wussies. Turns out, however, that we simply forgot to tell you about the contest. Our bad. But it is with that spirit in mind that we would like to announce that the contest is officially over, and I win with this, a lovingly detailed replica of Jeff Stryker's penis that I've placed on... All right, who took a bite out of this? Which one of you?
What are you looking at me for?
Oh, Leonard, you wacky, phallus-devouring lunatic.
Note to audience, never bite into hardened marshmallow fluff. I think I ripped out the filling.
Well, serves you right.
Well, out of curiosity, what did you win?
I have no idea. Philo was the one with the prize list.
It says here it was supposed to be a week's supply of fluff.
Well, who came up with that brilliant idea?
You did.
Well, fancy that.
Well, it's all well and good here, folks, but I got a show to finish. Can we move it along, please?
Sure. Care for a bite of Jeff?
No. Good day. My name is Kent Hammond, and I'm opening up a Young Earth Creationist Museum in the southern United States of America.
Who could have guessed?
Now, a lot of people say, Kent, you're off your rocker. I mean, who in their right mind believes that the universe is only 6,000 years old? Well, I can prove it to you, and you can prove it to yourself, too. And using my patented three-step method, you, too, can be a Young Earth Creationist. And here's how it works. Step one. Start believing in things that science has no evidence for. Like, for example, the fact that the Bible says that at one time in the distant past, a few thousand years ago, the universe was covered with a canopy filled with water. That's right, it was like a goldfish bowl with the water on the outside and us on the inside. And little windows would open up, and that's what caused it to rain. Of course, we can't prove it, but who cares? Step two, stop believing in things that science does have evidence for. Like radioactive decay rates of isotopes. I mean, sure, the scientists who study radiation claim that radiation itself proves that the universe has been around for billions of years, and utilizing that data, they've created things like nuclear weapons and nuclear power and radiation therapy and a whole host of things to make the modern world possible. What? They're wrong. And I know this for a fact because I'm invited on religious radio to tell people about it all the time. Step three, shut your cake hole. You know, nothing trips up my logic like simple questions about how evidence that shows that the universe is older than the Bible says it is could exist in the first place. I mean, every creationist just like me readily admits that science has discovered evidence that shows that the universe is older than the Bible says it is, but we'd prefer it if you focused on the evidence that showed that it was younger than that. It's a bit like saying that I'm the tallest person in the entire world. Now, I know there are people taller than me, but I'd prefer it if you focused on the people who were shorter than me, because it proves my point. So there you are, three perfectly simple, perfectly sensible examples of how you two could become a Young Earth Creationist. Now, I know there's a lot of you smart aleck and the intellectual types who are laughing at me even now as we speak, but just remember, a lot of people in America believe what I believe, and they vote and they have guns, so sleep tight. Was that ending sarcastic? Maybe that was too sarcastic. Just on my mind recently, that's all. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to the program. My name is Kyan Chris Conroy, and you, of course, have been listening to Tech Diff, the Technical Difficulties Podcast, here at techdiff.com. If you'd like to send me a message, send me a Gmail over at techdiff, T-E-K-D-I-F-F, at gmail.com, or head over to techdiff.com, where you can find links to send me mail, or send me PayPal donations, which I always appreciate because I have to pay for the, you know, the cost of the server and stuff out of pocket, but it's not very much money. So really the most important thing is enjoy the show. I'd also like to thank my anonymous donator who helped me buy this brand new computer. I'd like to thank Drew, or Professor BX of MCVL, for giving me this, selling to me this PreSonus Firebox. It's a FireWire audio interface that has really so totally boosted the sound of my show. And he's, as I said before, he's an audio engineer, and he's going to be teaching me how to make the show sound better. And so bravo for that. One of my fans today, this is Friday, by the way, hired me to do a voiceover for a PowerPoint presentation. And I thank you very much for that. I'll put that money to good use almost immediately. And, that being said, if anybody out there wants to hire me to do PowerPoint presentation, voiceover work, or anything like that, give me a bang off an email to me. My prices are reasonable. And so techdiff@gmail.com or techdiff@tcinternet.net. You could also go over to techdiff.com to leave a comment on the page or on the show or whatever. Any suggestions to make the show better and so on and so forth. I've got some sketches that people have sent me that I'm going to start incorporating into the show. Next week there will be a new Leonard's Big Adventure. Yes, I held off on it until I got sort of a storyline idea right, and so I didn't sound too half-assed. But there you go. There's going to be a Leonard's Big Adventure next week. Leonard will be so pleased. And what else? Anything else? No, not really. Check out uncomfortable-questions.com for my wife Susan's podcast. And do me a favor and check out channelsurfingwipeout.com for our video podcast. If you haven't already, we put up a new episode a few weeks ago. And so we're going to be hopefully working on new video for that too. Because I also have a brand new copy of Final Cut, which works on my fast new computer. So This is really cool. Things are looking up around here. Why, I'm turning into an actual production studio. And with all those kinds of things in mind, I would like to play for you a promo and get the heck out of your ears. So see you guys all again next week, and here's a related promo to me.
Hello, this is Leonard from the Technical Difficulties Podcast, and you're listening to the Shameless Plugcast with Zach Daggy. Okie dokie.
Want to tell them all about it? Go ahead and shout it out. Go ahead and plug yourself right now. Superstar, show them what you really are. Go ahead and plug yourself right now. Shameless plug, yeah. Telling everyone, yeah. Shameless plug, yeah. Yeah.
This is Zach the Mothman Daggy, and be sure to tune into the Shameless Plugcast on May 21st. For my interview with the comedic genius behind the popular podcast Technical Difficulties, Kai and Chris Conroy.
Shameless plug, yeah. Telling everyone, yeah. Shameless plug, yeah.
Podcasting soon at shamelesspodcast.com.
So, do you have children, or are you just a child at heart? In which case, Saturday Story Circle might be a good place to kickstart your weekend. Because we have the very best of family-friendly audio, which is all rated G, for great. Join us on the main Mutual Audio Network feed, or you can find us at the Saturday Story Circle wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mutual Audio Drama Network, where we listen and imagine together.